Hey there, and welcome back to Seasons of Life here on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hukkamalem-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome this lovely Tuesday night, and let's get started. Hi there. If you haven't heard already, this week is Fun Drive here on CITR. I don't have a Southern accent, so I'm going to stop doing this. But the thing is that, you know, we don't ask very often for money to keep the lights on. But this is the one time a year that we at CITR do ask for, you know, if you consider giving a donation, if you enjoy the hard work that I put in or any other programming that you're hearing, the hard work of our staff here at CITR and all the guests that come on. Really just a $5 donation if you use this for studying. Think of it as like a Spotify subscription. Or, you know, the price of a coffee. We'd really appreciate it. So if you consider it, just go to citr.ca/donate. Welcome back to Seasons of Life. It is a lovely Tuesday. Maybe there is some snow where you are. I'm here with a very special guest. Who are you two?
Dream Babe,
Nash and Lou from Dream Babe, a local band just kind of getting started up. Kind of, how would you describe your sound?
I'd say that we're like indie bedroom pop kind of vibes,
sexy R&B.
Okay,
but
sexy R&B.
A little more on the indie side of that.
Yeah.
We wish we were sexy R&B.
I from an outsider perspective, I will say it is sexy R&B.
Nice.
Yeah, you got that. Yes. You at least got my approval for that one. If it means anything.
All right, we're in.
So I asked you to pick a season of life. Which one are we kind of talking about right now?
We're going to be talking about kind of the spring and summer of this past year when we kind of ran away to the Sunshine Coast and made all of this music that we're slowly going to be sharing over time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it seems like a good place to kind of delve into since that's where it all started.
Awesome. Yeah. So you recently released Glow. That was on the 22nd, right? And
yeah.
You said you had a bunch of music. How many are we supposed to be looking forward to here?
Well, we've got at least a couple more singles coming out in the next few months. And then, yeah.
We're trying to we have an EP that we've been working on. And so we're hoping to release that after the next couple singles come out. So
yeah,
possibly the summer. So it'll be like a full year round of us.
Well, we'll all be eagerly awaiting, I think. So we're going to be playing your recent single last, so if you're listening, you have to listen all the way. I'm sorry, or not sorry, I think it's going to be a great interview. So so we'll start off with Melina's Seasonal Lovin'. Why did you kind of pick that as your first song?
Well, when we did Runaway, like Nash was saying, was it was like the first week of April, and things just started to be shutting down. And we had this cabin that we could go to on the Sunshine Coast. So we decided, you know, when the pandemic started, we didn't really know the scope of what it would be. So we're like, we're just going to go to our cabin and just stay there for a couple of weeks. And we brought all our instruments and stuff. And when we went there, as we were pulling into the driveway of this cabin, I just was like going through Spotify and just happened across this song by Melina called Seasonal Lovin'. And it was the perfect song to show up at the spot that would inevitably be our home for the next four or five months. And we played that song relentlessly when we were there, like almost every day. And it was like our theme song was this song.
So do you still think about it now? Do you think back to those days, like, or right at the beginning, or do you think about the whole thing now when you listen to the song?
I can still picture driving in to like seeing the cabin and hearing the song for the first time and having this like hopeful connection in such an unhopeful time, mm-hmm. that like you can just like put your hands up and like just like wave with it and just kind of enjoy this feeling of, I don't know, freedom almost.
Absolutely. Well, I guess we'll start playing it right now and then we'll get into the next few songs. This is Dream Babe on Seasons of Life here on CITR. And coming up is Seasonal Lovin' by Toronto-based Melina. Hi there, if you didn't know already, it is a fun drive, the one time a year that we at CITR ask for a little bit of help keeping the lights on. So if you like listening to community radio, you like what you're listening to right now, then think about going to citr.ca/donate. We can use all the help that we can get. Now back to the music. So that was Seasonal Lovin' by Melina. We're back here with Dream Babe. So we were talking off the air. How did you two meet? I feel like it's such a nice story.
Yeah. Well, I play in another band called Frankie. And it was a several years ago, I guess.
Yeah, I play in another band. Two bands. I play in a band called Blonde Diamond and a band called Fake Shark. Mm-hmm. And one of those bands and Frankie were playing a festival called Ponderosa and a couple of years back. And one of our bands was getting off the stage and another one was getting on. And we just ran into each other in this, like, it seems like it happens a lot with musicians. They just sort of cross paths.
Yeah.
And eventually you start talking to each other, but we just hit it off like immediately as soon as we were taking gear on and off the stage, just started talking. And then we like hung out the whole festival weekend. It's an amazing festival. It doesn't exist anymore. We wish it did.
Yeah, it's a good festival.
But yeah, it was just like one of those like instant connections that happened. And we still hang out every day. Since then.
Perfect.
Well, we're life partners. We're not just friends.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was going to ask, but I didn't know. Because I feel like if you're a guy, a girl, a musician, everyone asks it all the time. But
I know. Well, Lou really wanted to be like, oh, this project, we're not going to tell people that we're together. But, I mean, how are you supposed to not? I don't know. Anyway.
I think the Vancouver music scene already knows. So.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best musicians, though, I look at Fleetwood Mac. I mean, their relationship was very dysfunctional, but some really good music came out.
Well, unfortunately, our relationship is very functional, so I hope our music is better. it's no Fleetwood Mac, but...
No. I mean, I will note that the song came out, we'll listen to it in a bit, but it came out very functional, very nice. So, you get to Pearl River, you're in the middle of Timbuktu, you listen to Melina, and then what comes up next? Are we playing into the next song here, or how are you feeling? What's going through your mind?
Yeah, what is the next song on our list again?
Oh,
yeah,
Petals by
Tex. Oh, that was definitely, like, we had to include it on the playlist, but both of us are just, we listened to that song so much, we're like, all right, let's put a stamp on Petals.
Yeah, I've actually listened to that song so many times that, like, I'm near the end of being able to listen to it, but it was a really big influence in all of our songwriting, is pretty much anything by Tops.
Yeah, I love Tops.
Because they have
so
such
much.
Funky bass lines and good guitar lines. It's just like, and the vocals are...
They're irresistible. They're Canadian icons.
Yeah,
I think so. Canadian indie darlings. And you can't deny the Tops are amazing. But I think we just like OD'd. We killed ourselves with Tops because we love them so much. We love them literally to death. But I think that was kind of like the next logical step. After we got there, we unloaded our car. It was filled with all our instruments, our computer and speakers and everything to set up a recording studio in this cabin, and just started every day waking up. It was a small cabin, and so when you open the bedroom door, it was just the living room covered with instruments and the kitchen table covered with the computer and speakers and everything, so you couldn't do anything without acknowledging that this was a recording studio full of instruments everywhere. And then we would just when we weren't working on music, we'd just like go for a walk or go down, like there was a beach close by, and we'd go down to the beach and just bring a Bluetooth speaker and listen to music. And Petals was a huge song that we listened to all the time down by the beach, and it would just get us like fired up to go back and write and be creative and be like, yeah, you know, we can channel this energy. We can be like Canadian indie darling.
That's awesome. I mean, do you find that Canadian indie has a different sound than other like nationalities? Or because you look at American indie, there's like a bit of a different sound, but what makes Canadian indie special?
There might be a little more like do-it-yourself kind of influences, I think, going on. I mean, we only have so many labels up here, so I think to get started, you really have to just do it yourself for a while.
Totally.
I mean, everyone does to a certain degree, but some people can have entire careers in the Canadian music scene, I think, that's, you know, all DIY, and it still happens. So
I also think it's really interesting that it's like, it's such a small scene, and it's so geographically spread that, like, you are so isolated, so you spend so much time in this one pocket far away from everyone else, but then you travel across the country to meet your same relative weirdos in a completely different geography and from such a small population that it's like you find your people in these weird pockets. And I think it's just this like, it's like only child syndrome across the country almost. And that's why Canadian indie is, I feel like, so unique, because it's just people that are like, they're their one town's weirdo that created, or, you know, the band of weirdos that created this project. And yeah, there's like a weird through line to this.
Yeah, we're all kind of the same, yeah, all this indie Canadian projects.
I think that's so great. I mean, it really speaks to kind of us as a country, so that's awesome to hear. I mean, there's so many more questions I could ask, but we, in the interest of time, we'll go on to our next song, which is Petals by Tops, Montreal-based band. You're listening to Seasons of Life. We'll have a quick ad, and we'll be right back here with Dream Babe. Hi, Dream Babe. Welcome back. You guys are looking very dreamy and baby tonight.
You too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. So,
can the radio see us? We got our radio faces on.
They can't, but just imagine two honks across from me. I don't know, it was a hunk.
Hunkette?
We are hunks. We are both hunks.
Vancouver indie hunks. Okay, anyways. Tell us what... So, you're listening to your Bluetooth speakers. You're recording nonstop, letting the creative juices flowing. Was it ever hard to kind of keep that going? The constant kind of pressure to create?
I don't know. Honestly, while we were there, it kind of just kept flowing. It was sort of one of those only times where, like, I mean, there it seemed like everyone was just communicating less, and all of our tours that we were supposed to be on were canceled, like the tours with our other bands. So we suddenly had all this time, which is pretty rare to just have all this time that you don't really know what to do with. Mm. So I think it was sort of the only thing there was to do was to just keep writing. I don't know. Do you feel the same? Or?
Yeah. I mean, it was like our driving force for sanity, I guess. Like I got like laid off for like months. And so that's like how I was able to just go up there. Like, thanks, CERB. It was awesome. But it just like, it was like basically a government grant to go be an artist, which is like, you know, a lifelong dream basically. And I wanted to really make the most of it, so I felt like every day the pressure was like self-induced to keep just utilizing this moment, because also like we didn't, you know, no one knew how long it was going to last for, so mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, we could be going back to work like in May, we could go back to work in June, we could, you know. And like, yeah. Nash was working remotely, so my goal every day was like, okay, as soon as she's done work, I have to have like a drum beat ready or like a cool riff ready or something. So I would spend most of the day in the morning. I'd get up when she got up to go to work, and I would just get up and just start trying to write something or get like a song ready or work on whatever we worked on last night to get it to the point where when it was time, when she like finished work, that I'd be like, hey, check out this cool thing.
And then it was my turn.
And then it was your turn to take over.
And do synths.
Yeah, play synth. Do some vocals, write some guitar parts.
I actually had to teach him how to use Logic for
I had a crash course in being an engineer from Nash, because she's so much more technologically advanced than me.
And are you around equal, or is Nash still?
Yeah, better? We're around equal now. Maybe Lou's better now. I don't know.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, we just got to thank Daddy Trudeau. Wherever.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening right now.
Oh, come on, yeah, Daddy Trudeau.
Love
you. Anyways, don't build that pipeline. This is my plan. Yeah. Anyways, so that's exciting. Did you find yourself like borrowing from any of the musicians that you were listening to? I mean, I feel like that's pretty common in art, to kind of see something you like and try and emulate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never really done like in any other project like breathy kind of vocals, but I feel like in from the band Man I Trust, maybe we're actually playing the
yes.
I was trying to mimic that a little bit in terms of the breathiness. So it was the first time we tried where I was just whispering songs into the microphone. Mm-hmm. And then we buried deep underneath like a full volume version of me singing, like a normal mm-hmm. loudness of voice. So mixing those two together ended up being really interesting. Yeah, and I like the vibe that it gave off with like a little bit of a whisper, because it kind of makes it feel like, you know, you're whispering to somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So
And I'm like not a drummer by any means, but I play bass and play guitar, so I love like groove. So I would really carefully analyze drum beats, especially to like a lot of like 90s R&B. That's why I like threw some Janet in here, and like just I, you know, love that feel that is in 90s R&B. So I would like just carefully analyze like what's the hi-hat pattern, what's the kick pattern, what's the swing to this. And in Glow, like when we got a mix, the mixer was like Ryan Worsley's a great mixer. He was like, this song is so interesting because it's sort of half swung, like it's straight and it swung in the drums. And I think that was like just me not knowing how to play drums, but writing them in such a way that it was like just trying to emulate like 90s hip hop. And I butchered it, but I butchered it in such a way that it has like this feel that is like both swung and not swung. And it was just from me trying to learn of like how to make a like really
make a drum beat
funky
yeah.
drum beat that I thought would sound cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool to hear from your guys' perspective of actually making the music, because I think for a lot of us listeners, because I'm not much of a musician myself, you never fully realize the amount of layers that go into a song and the amount of methodical just thought that goes in. It's like very, I mean, yeah. it's artistic, it's almost poetic, but then you have all of these kind of other things going on. So that's really cool to hear. And I'm excited to hear your inspo from Men I Trust. I believe they're from Montreal as well. Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Montreal or Toronto.
Awesome.
I'm not sure. One of those two.
Well, I'm excited
We're
to hear
big
them.
Fans.
I'm a big fan too. Who doesn't like Men I Trust?
They're great. But Montreal or Toronto.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
it doesn't matter. They're great. They're
all we
great.
Know is that they're good.
They're great.
So this is Men I Trust with Lauren. We'll be right back here with Dream Babe. Thank you. Hi, it's Tuesday, and it's also Fun Drive, which means that we are asking for your support to kind of keep music going here on Community Radio. Go to citr.ca/donate, even $5, $10, $20, $100. I see you over there. Would be phenomenal. So check us out, citr.ca/donate, to keep Community Radio going here in Vancouver. So that was Men I Trust with Lauren, I believe. We're back with Dream Babe. Love Men I Trust. Hi, how
love
are you?
Love Men I Trust.
Still great.
Still great. Love Men I Trust. That song was very funky. That bass line.
Yeah, that bass line is very funky.
Inspirational.
Oh, yeah.
It is really good. I mean, I like her humming. Is it humming? What would you call that in the background? Do. I don't know. I don't know what you call it. But she's a very beautiful voice, I'll say.
Yeah, she really does.
So as some of you might know, the station is closed right now, which means that I have to do a lot of the interviews remotely. And that means that sometimes I go over. Actually, a lot of times I go over because there's no set studio time. So what that means is that I did have to condense this interview. In the meantime, head over to citr.ca/donate to support Community Radio. It is Fun Drive this week, and we'll continue on with the shortened version of this interview. You can find the rest of it on Spotify or really wherever you get your podcasts. Season of Life. Subscribe to us, actually. That'd be great. So here's more with Dream Babe. On to Reggie Snow is going to be your next song. Why'd you include Reggie Snow? Because he's an interesting character. He's very smart in his lyrics and whatnot.
I kind of like came on the radar with him I guess a couple years ago, and it was like when I was like trying to learn how to program drums, and I really wanted that like 90s R&B sort of thing but with like an indie feel, and I feel like I love his version of it and how it's like he's like a little bit hard but he's so charismatic at the same time, and like I really went down like a Tom Misch rabbit hole as well, but Tom Misch was like more jazzy, and I felt like Reggie Snow just like in my mind I made up the story that he just had more street cred, and I was like, no, I'm like a Reggie Snow man. Like Tom Misch, he's more like a just jazz guy. He's like got his like, you know, degree in jazz, he went to like fancy school, but Reggie Snow, he's like street, he's like got the cred.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely does. It's interesting. I was very surprised because I was reading his bio, at least on Spotify, and he's saying that he gets his influences as different as George Michael and Charles Bukowski. Bukowski doesn't even sing. Bukowski writes poetry, which is shocking. I mean, Bukowski writes good, like, interesting poetry, but I mean, I was so surprised. And yeah, he's super cool. I saw him at the, what's it, Imperial is in Chinatown? Is it? Yeah, super cool guy. Great, he has great live shows. The people that go there were interesting. I mean, there were lots of acid, but you know, it is how it is. Anyways, and Nash.
No,
so
Lewis
did,
just
do you have any
me
connection
song,
to
actually,
Reggie
so I don't
Snow?
Really know that much about it, but I really love the vocals, the back and forth vocals between him and Caroline Smith, who sings on it as well. So it just felt like a nice vibe, and it slid in there nicely with all of the. Like, we made a playlist of songs that were kind of inspiring us for this project, and this was one of them at the time. So, yeah.
And, yeah, even though, like, I don't really, mm-hmm. I don't sing on the songs, it felt like it channeled a similar energy of, like, I love how it seems like a musical conversation back and forth. And, I don't know, I feel like with the way we write, it's almost mm-hmm. like, because we both put so much of our voice into the music, this felt like it had some.
Yeah, when we're writing we generally mm-hmm. it's definitely a very back and forth thing, like we're both taking turns sitting at the computer and like adding like a synth part or guitar part and then, you know, until one of us kind of burns out and then we're like, oh god, like what do you think, maybe it's your turn now. And then we'll go, so that's kind of how the songs are mm-hmm. built for us, and I think this song kind of has that vibe to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you include conflict in your writing process, or not necessarily lyrically, but if, let's say, you have two different views of how the song should go, do you reach an agreement, or do you feel like you show the conflict?
I think, well, with our next or do you even single, have not to give too much away, but we did sort of have like almost a writing conflict over the lyrics, over the what lyrics, they meant. Yeah. And then that turned into us. Nash told me what she said, mm-hmm. and I wrote down what I thought she said. And then we managed to write the best form of a song that mm-hmm. way by complete accident.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was just a, it was... Yeah, it was
interesting.
It was surreal.
That's so interesting. And do you have any way of indicating that there was conflict, or is it just, does it just flow?
Yeah, I think
it seemed like it flows perfectly.
I mean, I think it kind of just flows pretty well. And then the conflict, I think, honestly, is usually more internal and not like against each other. Like, we'll mm-hmm. like start doubting ourselves. And so then it's good to like have a partner in that situation to offer you alternative solutions to like if you don't know where something's going, or if you don't believe in that part,
or to be like a cheerleader for each
or
other,
or to tell you honestly if it sucks.
Yeah,
which sometimes it does.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we need it's awesome to have someone next to you that knows kind of where you're coming from and knows what your capacity is, so they can totally. Say, you know, that sucks given what I know that you can produce. So yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, we'll play some Reggie Snow, and then we'll have Natalie Prass after that. It's been great talking to you guys so far. I think we're halfway through the interview so far, so if you're listening, I hope you're having fun so far. You can tweet us at CITRSOL.
Yeah, we have Instagram.
Do you have Instagram or Twitter or anything?
That's us.
At Dream Bay Music. At us. Well,
at Dream Babe Music.
Smell us. Smell us.
Smells how it's spelled how it sounds.
Smell us on the internet.
Smell us. Yeah,
it's
I think we
Tuesday
both had
afternoon, Sean. God.
School's hard. Just the beginning of the trend. Just kidding. Anyways, so this is 23 by Reggie Snow.
I'm at home smoking weed all day. Scratch marks on my Escalade. Gotta be the antidote. I tattooed you right on my brain.
Then why you wanna watch me drown? Mm-hmm. Act up when I come around. Mm-hmm. Flex up when we're making out. Tell me how I just run you down.
Those lips that I kissed today, mm-hmm. made up it in a foreign way. Mm-hmm. Stretch marks in my favorite place. I hate love, but in a crazy way.
Boy, you ain't gonna lay me down. Mm-hmm. Creased up in a paper crown. At your parents' house all day, all day.
Why you gotta say mean things about me? 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 Small rips on your skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. Your tattoos are wet on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. Your password ends in 23. Not safe, no way. You play dead like emergency. Mm-hmm. Your pants off and your jewelry. Mm-hmm. We make up so when the choir sings, I miss us, miss we.
Speaker blown on the driver's side. Mm-hmm. Say your tape gonna fly you high. Mm-hmm. But all I hear is some overdrive. All day, all day.
Why you gotta say mean things about me? 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 So why
can't you
lay down your arms? Why you gotta say mean things about me? Why you gotta say mean things about me? Why you gotta say mean things about me? Why you gotta say mean things about me?
I bet. just saying that.
Nah, that shit's not true. Reggie.
Hi there, if you didn't know already, it is a fun drive, the one time a year that we at CITR ask for a little bit of help keeping the lights on. So if you like listening to community radio, you like what you're listening to right now, then think about going to citr.ca/donate. We can use all the help that we can get. Now back to the music. Hi everyone, we're back with Nash and Lou of Dream Babe, along on this season. Hi. So you're still in Powell River. Are you still in
Powell River? We were in Powell River the whole time.
This whole time. This is where we're going. We're taking you to a place that people don't know, except for, I said it's sort of like a magical place where hippies and rednecks can coexist in harmony.
it's beautiful.
The left and the right. I wrote a picture book about it. They find a way to just eat mushrooms and drink together and be merry. Mm.
So for reference, if you think about the tip of Vancouver Island, it's just below the tip of Vancouver Island, but on the coast,
mainland.
Right?
Yes.
On the mainland.
It
yeah.
takes two ferries to get there. It takes about 6 hours.
It was kind of
interesting. So I'm curious, did you get any inspiration from the natural world while you were there? Because I'd imagine there's a lot to gain and stuff from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I tried to write a bunch of lyrics to some of our songs that were just entirely about, like, sunsets. And then I realized how cheesy that was starting to sound. So I stopped doing that. But I think for sure, like, just like being able to step outside and look up at the stars at night. I mean, that's so, like, priceless. It's so hard to not have that in a day-to-day life. I feel like, well, one day I've got to, like, live somewhere that I can see stars up in the sky almost every night. Except when it's cloudy, I guess.
I'm sure you could project some stars up there or something.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can make it work. When you guys are famous, you'll get a big star projector up for the clouds.
Yeah, all right, that's a good idea.
okay, yeah, we'll go with that one. How about you, Lou? Did you feel like the natural world impacted you at all?
Well, I'm very much an urban dude, and I was terrible at most outdoor activities. but then I found myself like learning how to go crabbing and like eating oysters off the beach and going like on like 8-hour hikes and stuff. I mean, like, isolation forced me to just be like one with nature and like swim since like early spring in the ocean. So I became full nature boy against my better judgment. And now, I'm like becoming part hippie, I guess.
I guess we were also talking earlier about lyrics as well. Kind of, how do you view lyrics in your music and where does this go?
It's kind of funny trying to write, whether you write lyrics before or whether you write lyrics after you have the music. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of our songs, the way they're written now is I'll just kind of sing gibberish and then we'll try and figure out how we can work in lyrics after. And so for some of our songs that became quite challenging because if there's no clear message in the gibberish, what do you do, right? But being able to have Lewis there to help decipher my gibberish and then bringing meaning to it as a team definitely is a lot easier.
Yeah, well, I think that's the great thing about the creative process is like almost there's no right or wrong way to do it. I'm not much of a lyricist myself, but we have been writing together. When I heard Nash singing some gibberish lyrics and I interpreted them in such a way that I thought they were something else, and that ended up becoming the song. Listener interpretation of lyrics can take so much more meaning even than what the singer's intention of lyrics is. And lyrics just have to have a base level connection that tells a good story to connect so that people can almost take it and make it part of their own interpretation and adventure of the story, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so vague enough to be applicable, but specific enough to tell a story.
It sounds easy to say, but it's terrible to write. If you try and write vague, it sounds so insincere, but you just gotta like You got to say one honest thing and then cloud it in a bunch of mystery, and people will take that and run with it.
Yeah. This is our current theory, and I'm sure it will change.
It'll probably change. But the lyrics for Glow specifically were actually about an actual New Year's Eve party. That really is a completely honest song, and lyrically it's not very specific. It's just about...
It's about the feeling.
The feeling of that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, which is great because everyone wants to feel like we're at a party when we can't. like your Cinco de Mayo mini party.
Yeah, with us and Nash's parents.
Awesome. So we're on to our next one, which is short court style. And you were talking about lyrics as being an important part of this song or the story behind it. Can we talk about the story real quick and then we'll play it?
I heard... I think it was Song Exploder.
Yeah, it was on Song Exploder.
And Natalie Press just talked about how she was writing a lot of songs and hadn't really been successful. And then she wrote this song really honestly about her partner and then wrote it with a producer and didn't think too much of it and went back home and played it in her kitchen. And her and her partner danced together to the song. And it's her biggest song. And it's just like one of those like feel good, really sincere songs that's not too heavy or not too deep. And it just felt really relatable to us.
And the harmonies in it are
And the harmonies are insane. And the drum beats are awesome.
Great. Okay, so we'll play that. I'm so excited to hear it now. So up next is Short Court Style by Natalie Press. We'll be right back. So, hey everyone, we're back with Dream Babe. That was Short Court Style by Natalie Prass. Lovely song. Great story.
Oh, yeah.
We choked up a little bit there. So we're on to the next one. Just very, very sweet. I mean, kind of. We have talked off the air about why you included it, but I think for the listener, they might be confused. Why did you choose Janet Jackson?
I love smooth R&B, and this song is just one of the smoothest R&B jams to me. And it was one of those ones where, like, I would just put it on the headphones and walk around feeling myself, and I try and channel my energy, I guess, when you're writing. So
it's a very feel-good tune.
It's a very feel-good tune.
Yeah.
I try and channel some 90s R&B into this project as far as, like, the drum and the bass goes. The song kind of has it. It has what I want. It has that taste.
Yeah.
A little flavor that you're looking for. A little bit of hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. He loves hot sauce, actually. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, 26 bottles of hot sauce. It's crazy.
My new roommate has a hot sauce company, so...
Really?
What?
Yeah, it's a Rainbow Connection.
Oh. Please tell... Is it actually called Rainbow Connection?
No, I don't know. I'll fill you in afterwards. So up next we have That's the Way Love Goes by the lovely Janet Jackson here on Seasons of Life. Feel free to go to CITR.ca/donate, donate to Fun Drive, and here's Janet Jackson.
Like a moth to a flame, burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire?
That's the way love goes.
Like
Hi, welcome back. It is Fun Drive. Once again, this year, the one time a year when we ask for your support in keeping the lights on and just keeping the programming that we can offer going. Our goal this year is $25,000, and we know it's been a tough year for a lot of people, but if you can even just chip in $5, $10, the price of a coffee, a beer, it would mean the world. So consider going to citr.ca/donate to donate there. So that was Janet Jackson. Now we're on to your song, which I think we've all been waiting for, so we're all very excited. No pressure or anything.
I know, really lined ourselves up after Janet
Jackson. Yeah, I know. Let's now turn Janet on Janet right Jackson. Before us.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I think it was like a natural progression. I really liked hearing how you came to making the song through all these other influences and stuff. But I was curious, as you went through the creative process and as you kept hearing it and listening to it, did you... your view of it change as you grew either as music listeners or musicians or as people?
I definitely was at first hesitant to show people the song, even though I thought I really believed in it. I thought like this was really great. And then I would show people, but then all of a sudden I would be self-conscious and think like, oh, is this terrible? Is this suck? Is it too busy? Or was the production awful? And then people would encourage me, like, no, this is great. This is great. When are you putting it out? And then I was just like, no one's going to like this. I don't know. And then we didn't put it out. And then all of a sudden I was like, this is awesome. What the hell is wrong with people? This is great.
Well, so. I think the reason that like this is the first project we've had where it's really entirely self-produced. Like we produced everything mm-hmm. ourselves. I mean, we've had mixing help. Yeah. At the end, with Ryan Worsley of Echo Plan. He's really great.
Ryan Worsley is amazing.
But, so yeah, to be able to, trust your production skills enough, I think is, like, a pretty big step. It's still really hard to,
I think that's, like, where a lot of the angst and self-consciousness came from, was, like, we were doing this completely on our own when both of us had been in bands with producers and mixers and engineers and everything. And other bandmates, obviously, and this was like us writing every instrument. We weren't using loops or samples or anything. We were like playing or like programming every moment of this and then mixing it ourselves and then sending it to a mixer to like finish the mix. And it was really a challenge. It was like a huge challenge and undertaking to the point that we'd never done before, and just trusting that our intuition was right was terrifying.
I mean, that's very impressive though, being able to do all of the different instruments and then layering everything on top. Like I don't think a lot of people realize just how much work it is to do that. That's so impressive. So congrats to
that. The drums in this song I did not physically play, but I would literally tap each drum beat out.
Yeah.
It was not like I've had other people like send demos and stuff where it's like they go on splice and they do splice loops or whatever. And this was like literally everything we played in one way or another. And it was probably more arduous than it needed to be, but it's 100% us.
Does it feel like your baby at this point?
Yes.
So how do you take feedback when you put so much effort into it? Is it hard to take feedback from people?
The feedback so far has been pretty good. I mean, every once in a while someone's like, I don't know, I don't feel like this part of it or that part of it, but most people seem to really like it. So
yeah, it's actually I think I'm trying to like have really real expectations of myself. Like, you know, this, it means a lot to me, but it's, again, it's just a song and there are a million great songs out there and I love this song and I just want to tell people that I really love this song and I really believe in it. And, you know, I just hope people will give it a chance and go on this adventure with us. And if they don't, I still love the song. And that's really all that matters.
Yeah, as long as just a couple people really want a groove to it, I mean, that's a success for me.
Yeah. Well, from what I've heard so far, I think it's going to be a lot more than just a couple people. So I'm so happy that you guys took the time to come on the show. When I say that I'm excited to see where you guys are going to go, like, I'm beyond excited. So I will be following you guys. And I appreciate you so much for coming here and talking to me about your child, essentially. anything you want to say before the end of the show?
Please listen to Glow on Spotify after you hear this. Like it. Tell a friend if you like it. It would really mean a lot to us because we... Even though we play in other bands, we are just a band starting out, and we are brand new, and no one knows about us. So it would, any sharing would mean a huge amount to us.
Yeah.
Okay, so at Dream Babe Music on Instagram and dreambabemusic.com.
Yeah. We'll be playing live whenever we can do that.
Whenever we're allowed to.
And we'll all be eagerly awaiting. So this is Glow by Dream Babe.
Home just to
This episode is brought to you by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meter Program. Without them, none of this would be possible, so thank you so much.
This program is made possible by the support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters Program.